Well, I tell you what, it's amazing to spend a week working on a message, actually more than a week, I guess, and having an overwhelming sense that God has something for you to hear today. I hope you can isolate. I hope you can give me about 25 minutes. I don't have a watch on, okay, so I'm not asking anybody to hold me to that, but I think I know what God wants you to hear this day. And there's some warnings. You need to know what to watch for. You know, and you can't say you weren't warned. You know, we get so many signs and so many interventions that we get warned all the time. A lot of times we just don't hear it. And as I have been thinking about this, I think about it comes in all different shapes and form and sizes. You see it on TV. You see it on road signs. In drugs. Commercials on TV. I thought, what is the drug that I've been taking or I have taken in the past, not currently, but I've taken this, I asked Phyllis, is amoxicillin, that's what I have taken. She thought, okay, for an illness or for a sinus or something like that. And you know, you ever know, read the side effects on this stuff? It's nuts, okay? I thought, this is crazy. It says, get emergency help if you have any of these signs of an allergic reaction. Hives, difficulty breathing, swelling of your face, lips, tongue, or throat. And then it says, call your doctor at once if you have a serious side effect such as white patches or sores inside your mouth or on your lips, fever, swollen glands, rash and itching, joint pain, or generally ill feeling. It doesn't stop there. It says pale or yellowed skin, yellowing of the eyes, dark colored urine, fever, confusion, have that all the time, or weakness, severe tingling, numbness, pain, muscle weakness, easy bruising, unusual bleeding. This stuff's supposed to be good for you. You know, but there's warnings. You got to look out, watch out. You know, you got to know what to watch for. I met the very nice police officer in Berlin not that long ago. Nice guy, really a nice guy. I was heading north on Highway 49, and my mind was kind of, you know, out there wandering, and I'm paying a whole lot of attention. And he pulls me over. Nice guy. I praise this guy. What do you know? He came over. He said, can I ask where you're going? And I said, well, I'm just going down the road. I was going to the hunting club that I'm Rustling Meadows up north of Berlin. And I told him that, you know, I had orange hat on, dog in the back, gun in the car. You know, I mean, it's pretty obvious. And then he said, do you know how fast you're going? And, of course, I said, well, I know I had to be going fast enough for you to stop me and challenge me on it, so it's probably too fast. And he said, well, you were. But he said, I'm going to give you a warning. You know what happens when you hear that sound from a police officer? You just get so complimentary. What a nice guy. Wonderful man. Wow, I love this guy. You know, I will never do it again. Now, the truth of the matter is, every time I'm on Highway 49 going north of Berlin, I am very careful. I am extremely careful. How many of you ever gotten, I just need a show of hands. How many of you have gotten a ticket in Rosendale? Raise your hand. I knew it. I knew there'd be a bunch of you. Watch out for that guy. He doesn't do warnings, okay? He does not do warnings. How many of you met Pastor? Officer Howard from Ripon, raise your hand. Yep, a lot of guys know him too. Phyllis knows him very well, my wife. You know, the signs are there, right? You got to know what to watch for. You got to know that if you excessive speed usually brings, you know, not always a warning, usually a ticket. You know, there's consequences for our behavior. Now, it's funny, like the older I get, the more my mother used to do this, and I used to think she'd always have to watch the weather at night. Now we can get weather pictures. Can we show that picture on the screen here? Yeah, you know, we get that weather. I have an app on my phone. I have a tablet. I got it on my computer. And then I have to see what the TV says, you know. So I'm always wondering about, you know, what's it going to be like? Is it going to rain? If it's green, if it's rain, it's white, it's snow. It's pink. Really crummy, because that's usually a mixture. You know, there's warnings. You got to know what to watch for. What's the weather going to be like tomorrow? What's the weather going to be like right now? This is really what's kind of cracks me up. I'll look it on my app and I see, yeah, it's raining. I'll look out the window and say, sure enough, you know, anyways. So, but there's all kinds of signs and warnings. I'll have this next slide. I think Thelma and Louise inspired this one here. Don't drive off cliffs. You know, I mean, if you're going on the road, you see that. You're probably thinking, wow, where's the cliff? You know, and then you're going to be too late, okay? Here's one I found, too. Danger. You've seen this. Non-potable water, not useful for drinking, washing, or cooking. You don't want to drink any water when you see a sign like that. You know, you got to know what to watch for. You don't drink that. There's a warning, okay? Here's another one. Crossing. You know, people are crossing. Look out. Why? Well, you might run over and kill somebody. You know, you got to watch. Be careful of that, you know? Well, sometimes we just miss the signs. Sometimes we just confuse the signs. They're there. They're all around us, but we just don't tune in, you know. And sometimes it's just because we're dumb, you know. We just don't get it, you know. But you know, once you've been warned, you really don't have an excuse, right? So the whole point of what I want to do today, Jesus himself gives us lots of warning signs. And I want to talk about some of these signs so that you can't say that you weren't warned, that you know what to watch for. Okay? Now, I want to give this a setting. Hopefully, you got this slide up, Abby. Did we get the setting slide? Perfect. Okay? I want to kind of give you a little bit of who, what, when, where, why. Okay? And we're reading the book of Luke. Right? We're going through this series here out of the book of Luke. Now, I know I'm not trying to insult anybody. Okay, but I just want to kind of set it up here because a lot of people really don't know. You know, they just don't. You know, the book, the Bible, is divided into two sections. One is, stuff's falling all over the place. I keep knocking stuff down. Old Testament, New Testament. All right, so I always tell people, study the new, read the old. Study the new, read the old. We're in New Testament church. Start there, you know, study the new, read the old. Now, a lot of folks didn't realize this, but Jesus Christ was in ministry for 3 years. And what you have here is eyewitness account testimony of the person in the ministry and the teachings of Jesus Christ, especially in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are the Gospels. Right. Okay, and Gospel means good news. It's a good news about Jesus Christ. Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John give similar accounts because they're all telling the same story, that three-year ministry. Jesus starts his ministry at the age of 30, and death and resurrection occurred when he was 33. He's 3 years later, okay? So, Matthew and Mark and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels. It sounds really heady, and I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm just trying to lay it. That just means they're the same. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, very similar. You'll see the same story written through a different personality. It's the same story. Okay, and some of them seem to emphasize some things and some others, okay, but it's the same stuff. John, you get to John, it's more theological, but they're all the Gospels. So if you really want to understand the ministry and the teachings and the life of Jesus Christ, you focus on those. You start there, okay? Matthew was a disciple. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, first four books of the New Testament. Matthew was a disciple. Jewish guy, Jewish dude, hung with Jesus 3 years. Eyewitness writes it down. Get it? Thank you. Good. Okay. Some of my students aren't here. Okay. So, and now Mark's a scribe for Peter. So Peter's a disciple or apostle, one of the original 12s. Mark takes notes, and that's where we get the book of Mark. Matthew is, we figure, plagiarized Mark. He could do that. All right? I do it all the time, okay? I'm going to take for when I read the Bible, and I'm going to plagiarize everything today. It's not an original thought with me. I read it in the Bible, okay? But Matthew must have had access to Mark's teaching because it's so structured, so similar. The outline is there. Now, some people say Luke did. I don't know about that, but I know Luke read it because he was there at the time. But get this. Matthew and Mark, was as Mark is described for Peter, are Jewish. But Luke, this is what we're studying, is a Gentile. And the dude's brilliant. He's got a real super solid grasp of language. He's a smart guy. He's a doc. He's a traveling companion to Paul, who wrote the abundance of the New Testament. And he writes the Gospel of Luke by interviewing everybody he could find. And he probably sat in some of the teaching of Peter. Okay? We know he heard Paul. And he writes this marvelous account. Like he was there. But he wasn't. He wrote what he knew other people to say. He's brilliant. He captures it in the essence. And he seems to want to emphasize certain things. The Messiah. He wants people. There's a passion about him. He wants you to know Jesus. And so, page after page. By the way, this is a companion book to the book of Acts. He also wrote Acts. So after he's done with Luke, he writes Acts. And that's about the new church. Prolific. Wonderful. Amazing. God-inspired book. Okay, I've got to make sure I don't mess up in my order here. All right. So, warning number one. I want to take you now into what he grasped, the story of Jesus. And there's a warning. Now, in this passage, now remember, Luke interviews everybody he can find. So, and we're going systematically through the book of Luke. So I drew this straw today to talk about this passage, and I'm so glad I did, because there are watches and warnings that are there for you and for me. But this passage that he gets into, these next four verses, he writes to his present audience, or he's speaking about his, Jesus is speaking about his present audience. I have had this overwhelming sense this week that I could see, literally see, as you look at these verses over and over again, I could see Jesus talking. I imagine him, because the way this section has, the last verses, as he, every day he was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives, and all the people came early in the morning to hear him, every day. You got to know the setting of this, okay? This occurs from right after Palm Sunday, okay? The triumphant entry. You'd flip the page after this one, and what's going on? The death, the resurrection, the crucifixion, the Lord's Supper. This is right there. So Jesus is so impassioned about what he's going to tell his people. He's really concerned. And I can almost see him. They're so intent and so in tune and talking to people and giving them what to watch out for. So now it's present company. Here's what he says, starting with verse 20. Luke 21. If you've got a Bible, somebody yell out the page number of the Pew Bible or whatever we call that. Could somebody find it? Luke 21. 743. Smart guy back there. He's 743. So if you want to just turn to a page, turn to 743. We're in Luke 21. I want to start with reading verse 20. All right, here's what it says. Now keep in mind, he's talking to a group of people, probably mostly Hebrew at the time. He says, now, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Watch out. When the city of Jerusalem, he's sitting in the city of Jerusalem, when it's surrounded by the armies, he said, watch out. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. He says, get out of town. When you see that happening, get out of town. It's not in the Bible. I'm just adding my own color to it, okay? Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. Don't let them come in and get out. He's a warning, all right? For this is the time of punishment and fulfillment of all that is written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against his people. And they will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times the Gentiles are fulfilled. The time of Gentiles started about 586 B.C. and it continues today. And we'll be there until Jerusalem is there. It once again has the temple. But Jesus knew in the now I had a slide. It might be, I don't know, maybe it's in your notes. And that man, I don't know what's in there. Okay, so anyways. He knows this is going to happen. It's going to happen 40 years from that time. Isn't there something about God with numbers? 40 years in the wilderness, 40 days of rain, Noah, 40 this, 40 that. In 40 years, in 70 AD, this is what happened. Josephus, a historical writer, recorded. So Luke's written this before the temple and Jerusalem had this terrible thing happen, destruction. But in 40 years' time, Jesus knew this place would be leveled. Jim Meyer talked about this last week, if you were here. About 1 million people would be killed. He's warning the present company, get out of town. 1 million people would be killed and about 100,000 in exile. Now, I'm fascinated by this, and so I'm reading this week, and they said they took the money when they destroyed the temple. It was full of gold and ornaments and jewels. Herod had spent 47 years building and decorating this thing to the nines, the temple. And people went and mined the gold and the silver out of the stones. That's why the stones were demolished. And they took the money and they built the Colosseum. Jesus says, get out of town. This is going to happen. And a lot of people that were in the audience that day suffered. Unless they took warning. And they watched. Because 66 AD... they were an uprising. And Titus, the future emperor, led the armies and destroyed. So he's talking to them. Okay, now we turn. And I don't know why Luke doesn't do a subheading or say, now I'm going to talk about somebody else. He doesn't do that, okay? He just continues on with his writing. And he had interviewed everybody he could find. He knows what Jesus was talking about. But now there's a shift because he's going to be talking to a different group of people. And it starts in verse 25, okay? With this watch, I'm coming back. Okay, that's in your notes if you're taking notes. Watch, if I'm coming back. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And on earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea, and men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. Look at that, on the world. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken, and at that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He's talking, listen, he's talking there about the tribulation. The end of that 7 years when he is going to return. That'll be a different generation that's living at that time. You understand? But he's still given a warning because keep in mind, it's just a matter of a few days. Last time that he's going to spend on earth walking around and talking and teaching, he wants to get this on the record so you know what to watch for. You can't say you haven't been warned. You think Jesus knew that these guys were going to write this book called the Bible so we would have it for all times? Of course he did. Do I sound excited about this? I get excited when I talk about God and his word. But listen, are you listening? This stuff is yet to come. This stuff could happen in our generation. And that's what he's talking about. But he says, listen, I am coming back. Now, how do people deal with this? How many of you all in this room, put your hands again, I like doing that, have a sense that he's coming back sometime? All right, we're all on the same page. You can't say you weren't warned. You need to know. We need to know. We need to know how to share this with people. Okay? Ignorance is no excuse, because if we know he's going to come back, we know there's probably something that we need to watch for, to be aware that what we need to do. Now, there's a sign, the warning sign, that say he's coming back, but wait. Okay. What I was just talking about was the end of the tribulation. Now, here's the good news for you Christians. Now, Luke doesn't insert this in here. By the way, if you're ever confused in your Bible reading, you say, I just don't get this. Your tendency for humanistic is to close the book and put it away. That's the point. You just could keep reading. Because the answer will be in there if you just keep reading. Don't give up on it. Just keep reading. Okay? But the Bible is really clear. The New Testament teachings are very clear. There's just this thing called a rapture that's going to occur, all right? Now, that's why I say, but wait, this is good news for every single Christian. Jesus doesn't want his people to go through 7 years of hell. He doesn't want that torment. He's going to take people out. I believe one of the reasons Luke made sure he put that first four verses in there where he's giving the warning to the present company about what's going to happen to Jerusalem, because it's a picture of what's going to come. It's a picture of what's going to come where there's going to be an annihilation and a war to end all wars, and he doesn't want to have his Christians do that. I believe he's going to rapture the church. I believe it because it says it in different parts of the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 15:52, I don't know if we got that one in there, Abby, but that's one where it's in a twinkle of an eye. Boom, we're going to be raptured up. There's a movie out, stars Nicolas Cage. Rent it. It talks about it. It's really cool. Everybody seen that movie? It's called Left Behind. It's the second one. There's two Left Behinds. Nicolas Cage is in one. They did a pretty good job. Okay, we need to be aware. This stuff's going to happen. Well, he's talking now, and I want to talk to you about the rapture. Because I don't believe God is hence for his church to go through that seven-year tribulation period. Here's a verse I could put on. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Now look at this. Look at this. Are you looking at this? For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise, and then all of us will go up with him. How is he going to do that? Physically or whatever that is, I don't know, but I just go, God said it, and I'm counting on it. There's going to be a rapture. Revelations 3. Now, I have to tell you this. Casey has been on a sabbatical. I got to go on a sabbatical quite a few years ago. And when pastors go on sabbaticals, we read things, we write things, we do things, or we do nothing. I hope Casey did nothing, a lot of nothing, because you got to rest. Because you get this is a burnout. You do hundreds and hundreds of messages and teach and do and build buildings, and you get burned out. So, but it was one particular time I got a chance to go on a sabbatical. I thought I'm going to read Revelation. That would be fun, I have one target book. I'm going to really focus on 5 weeks reading Revelation. Now, some of you think that sounds boring, but it wasn't. Right, but I was at a beach, so I go out to the beach and open up my umbrella. Phyllis would be sitting next to me. I don't know what she was reading. That's another conversation. But I was reading my own stuff, and I was reading this Revelation. I was studying it. I was just studying. I was just reading it. I'm like, what's this book about? I just approached it that way, and I came to a conclusion. And I wasn't looking for this because I was just reading the book. I came to the conclusion that in a time of that tribulation period, the church would be raptured before. Now, I had to go to Bible college. I did all that. And I remember going to Bible college and seminary, and people and the teachers would always say, all of them were pre-trib. They thought that church would be raptured before the tribulation. And I don't know if you understand what tribulation or what rapture means. That's being caught up. God's going to raise up his church to avoid this terrible time of destruction. Now, so I read this, and at the end of this five-week period, I closed the book and I said, we're going to be raptured before this tribulation. Talk about a relief. That's really a good feeling. I did it. And Revelation 3:10, it's not just because of what it said in the book, but how the book was structured. And I'd never seen that before until I took the time to patiently look at it. Revelation 3:10 says this. It should be on the screen. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I also keep you from the hour of trial that's going to come above the whole world. Test those who live on earth. There's going to be a rapture. It's going to get the church up. Okay, then there's going to be people that could still accept Christ, but it's going to be a bad time. War and violence and terrorists. All this stuff is going to happen. It'll be a 3.5 years, and then you're going to see the abomination of desolation, this Antichrist figure on the throne of the temple in Jerusalem, and then 3.5 years of bad times, and then Jesus is going to come back with the armies, and hopefully you and me. So this rapture is going to occur. Now, warning number three. Verse 29, Jesus says, tells a parable. He likes telling stories. They're illustrative. All right, he says, look at the fig tree and all the trees. Warning, watch the trees. You think he meant just go stand in front of a fig tree and watch it? No, it's a metaphor. It's a big picture. A fig tree was illustrative, symbolic of Israel. That's like their national tree. That's Israel's symbol of a tree would be a fig tree. So you watch the fig tree. And this is what Jesus said. Watch them. You know, I might as well just continue reading. When I'm confused, I get to do that, okay? When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Now I believe he probably wrote this in terms of the generation that was going to be living there at that time, okay? But I believe that's also for us. Watch Israel, the fig tree, and all the other trees. I had a friend who's now deceased. His name was Jan Moskowitz. Jan, in the 70s, was really a radical, rebellious guy. Long hair, swam across the current. He was Jewish. Moskowitz, he discovers Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And so he started this organization with a couple other radical buddies called Jews for Jesus. Anybody ever hear of Jews for Jesus? Sure, that was Jan. So when I was pastoring a church, I'd bring him up. I loved to interview the guy on stage. This guy knew the Bible inside out, backwards and forwards. And Jan was always right there. He said, I'll never forget one thing he said to me. He said, when the United States of America turns their back on Israel, that's it. Watch, and the other trees he's referring to, that's it. When the United States of America, because that's the restraint from, it keeps the other people from, the nations from coming in and attacking, because they all want to kill it. Now, side note here, they're getting really excited about this stuff. Gog and Magog, anybody ever hear about that? It's in the Bible. You know, study your Bibles. It's all in there. Study Gog and Magog. Most likely is Russia and Iran. What's happening in Iran? What's going to happen next week in Iran? Yeah, have you following this? You're going to get $180 billion, right? Dollars? What do you think they're going to do with that? Build Culver's? What do you think? We're there. Watch the trees. Watch what's going on in the nations. We're at a time in history. We're coming to the end. Don't be foolish like those people on the screen. It's all in the Bible. Just read it. It's in there. Get one, read one. I one of my clients. I always ask him about Bibles. Well, he got Bible for Dummies. I thought, well, that's good. I didn't know you could do that. There's actually a book called Bible for Dummies. So I'm reading that. So I go down and I buy him this, the 40-pound, if you're a golfer, it's the Big Bertha Bibles. You know, literally weighs about 40 pounds. I know it's heavy. But it's really cool. It's got all these commentaries. I thought, just buy it for him, you know. $40, big deal. Mail it to him. Let him read it. It's all in there. Gog and Magog, this war. I think, here's what happens, okay? I think this Gog and Magog thing, this way I got to figure it out, is going to happen. This war, Russia and Iran against Israel. Who's going to win that one? Who do you think? I think God's army is going to take them to task. That's what's going to happen. But guess what? I believe that's when the rapture comes, and bang, Christians are out, and the seven-year tribulation begins. That's what I believe, okay? But I came to that from reading the scripture. Now, warning number four. Warning number four. Thank you. Watch yourself. Jesus now shifts. Luke is writing. He captures this. He wants you to watch yourself, okay? Be careful, verse 34, right? Verse 34. Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation anxiety, drunkenness, and the day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. Watch yourself. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch. And pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Watch yourself. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? God laid down his life for us, for the world. God so loved the world, he's talking about people. He doesn't care about bricks and mortar. God so loved the world, his people, that he gave his only son. He laid down his life that whoever believe will not perish but have eternal life, John 3:16. The whole point of the ministry of Jesus Christ to lay down his life was so that he could give his life to you and to you, Steve, to you, Jake, to you, Phyllis. He did that so he could give his life to you so that, listen, are you listening? This is a lot of people say, I want to get my get out of hell a pass, you know? I want to get saved. I don't want to go to hell. You don't want to, I don't want to. No, that's creepy. Spend my whole life? No way. But listen, that's half of the gospel. The other half is he laid down his life so that he could live it through you, Jordan. So that he could live it through you. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, and you invite him into your life, and you say, I'm going to trust in you and live with you for the rest of my life. He does that, and he wants to live in you. Now, I might be fanatical, but I love this Jesus. Just last night, I'm reading. I was getting psyched up for this Packer game. Okay, I'm going to take a break. I'm a little bit nervous. So I go in my office, and I sit down. And this is coming. I want to be in the right frame of mind, you know. I didn't know what was going to happen in the next 2 hours. So I figured it's about 6:30. I'm reading. And I'm reading this passage, this book, little book. And I'm reflecting on it. And the guy was talking about having Jesus in his life, and he just decided that he was going to live his life in such a way that he would not offend Christ. And I thought, that is really cool. If you have Jesus Christ living in your heart, Christian, wouldn't you want, like if it was like a guest staying in your home, wouldn't you be very careful that you wouldn't offend him, the guest? And if Jesus Christ is living in your life, wouldn't you live your life in such a way that you'd be very careful not to offend him? And I thought, amazing. And I knew that within an hour and a half, I would be yelling at my TV screen. So, okay. But listen. He laid down his life for all of us. And you turn the page from this passage we're looking at, and that's exactly what's going to happen next page. The cross. And so he wanted to give his life to each and every one of us. You know that we can all partake in him. This is the amazing thing about this Lord. He went up to heaven so he could send the Holy Spirit. So now he could operate in each and every one of us individually and give us the power and the strength that we needed to live this day and the next. And if you agree with that, you better say amen. Because that's the truth. That's the truth. Now, and you can hope for that. You know, biblical hope is different than human hope. Right? Yes, she knows. Okay. You might say, I hope I have a puppy. I hope I get a puppy. I hope I get a puppy. You know, it'd be nice to have a puppy. I hope I get a puppy someday. That's people hope. God hope, biblical hope is, I'm going to get a puppy. Not only am I hoping on this, but I know the litter is born, and I have picked one out, and I'm picking it up next Friday. I know. Listen, are you listening? I know. There's hope is a calm assurance that you know that you know that you know that it's there. Listen, we need to be all on that same page, that we know that we know that we know that he's coming back, that we know that we know that we know there's going to be a rapture. Now, listen, friends, if you die, by the way, statistically, we all do, you know, we all do. Now, if the rapture comes and you're raptured up to the church, it's going to be a whole different trip. But if it doesn't come today or tomorrow, the rapture, many of us will die. All of us will die here on earth, an earthly death. It's promised. Statistically proves it, okay? Now, this is what you got to know, that if he laid down his life for you, you need to respond to him. He challenges every single individual. Last slide should be believe, receive, and follow. Nobody gets a free pass on this. Don't be stupid like the guys on the video, okay? No. My salvation experience was, I'm just going to buy all that stuff I heard in Sunday school. I believe it's true. I don't know why I couldn't explain it, but I'm all in on that one. Then I asked him to receive that forgiveness of sins. I knew I had done so much stuff that I was just ashamed of. Living a life, you know, we could spend the next hour confessing sin in here. Maybe that's what we should do today. Get her on, get her out, get her done. The least of which we could do is in the quietness of your heart, have a time with God today. Maybe you have been a weak follower. Maybe you really haven't been loving him. And maybe you have been doing things to offend the one that's living in your house. Maybe you need to reflect on your life. Maybe you haven't gotten to the point where you said, I believe. I'm going all in on this. You can't say you weren't warned. You know, if you don't, you go to hell. And that'll be next week's sermon. No, I don't know what next week's sermon is. I don't know. But I do know this, that if you don't respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you don't get to go to heaven. And if you don't respond, you don't get to have Christ living his life, giving you a supernatural power in the day. Today, you don't. So, let's close with this. Kyle's going to come up and play a song. And he's going to release us. Oh, I wanted to say this. You know that game last night was an amazing game. That Packer game. A coin toss decided it. It's the second year in a row. A coin toss. What if the coin would have flipped the other way and the Packers would have gotten the ball and we would have gone down and scored the touchdown? We would have won. Listen, that's a chance. There is no chance in what I've been talking about today. It's a sure thing. We know who's going to win. And we know who's going to lose. That's already been determined. Get in on the winning. Get in on the game. We know Christ is coming back. We know he wants to reside in your heart. We know that there's even somebody in this room right now today whose heart is pounding. It was one of the songs we sang. But the pounding of your heart, as long as you have a breath in your heart, Kyle either said it or we sang the song. But if your heart is pounding, respond. Just respond. Get it? Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can trust in you and know that we can have the eternal hope of our salvation. Lord, we know that you're coming back. And we know, Lord, and we believe in our hearts, Lord, that you came to rescue us. Lord, I am thankful this day just to have the privilege of talking and sharing. And I pray that you take this message and put it in everybody's heart and that you literally change people. That people will know you and love you in a way that is fresh and is real and is right. Lord, we love you. Can everybody say, Jesus, we love you?
Lord Jesus, just open our hearts up to more of you. To be less of us in our life and just more of you in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that there's a person that needs to respond to you and receive the gift of forgiveness and decide to follow you, Lord, that you will honor that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.